All right. Well, let's do this. Let's open with a word of prayer today. And I'm going to have Brother Chris come, and we'll have our class. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can be here this morning. I ask that you'd be with Brother Chris as he preaches, that you'd give him your power and your presence, Lord. Help us to be attentive. We thank you so much for what you've done here this week and how you've spoken to our hearts. And we just look forward to today. We pray that you'd be with those that are still traveling in. We pray for our service to follow in a little while, that you'd bless that. And we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and first turn to the book of Genesis, if you would. The book of Genesis and chapter number 12. Genesis and chapter 12. And I'm going to turn there. Let me get there myself. Flipping over here. Genesis chapter 12. And then I want you to hold your place there and turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. I'm flipping there as well. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 12 and then 1 Peter and chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I said it right the first time. I said it wrong the second time. Well, good morning. Hope you had a wonderful week this week. We sure did. We enjoy the format, we enjoy the opportunities to just minister in different ways, and we just love being with you guys. My wife enjoyed very much the ladies' fellowship, and my friend Ethan and my friend Aaron and I, we went out and we goofed around for a while, and we came back home to check if they were done at 8:30, and we did a drive-by then, and actually it was later than that, it was probably like 9 o'clock, and we did a drive-by, and we're like, there's still a ton of cars there, and they're just sitting there, so we decided to, just kind of coast on by, and try not to disrupt, and we went out, and we grabbed an ice cream cone, and that's a good thing to do on a Saturday night. That's the difference between the world and us Christians. On Saturday night, we are sitting in the McDonald's parking lot, eating ice cream, three guys, and so that was great, but someone's idea was do a selfie. I'm not a selfie guy. I just am not like that, but these guys were all about selfies, and so I mean, just left and right. I'm just kidding. I suggested putting us three in their little picture there, but it's a terrible picture. One, it was dark, and two, Aaron was in it, so it was just a terrible picture, but we enjoyed that. My wife enjoyed the fellowship and enjoyed getting to teach a lesson there, and really enjoyed being with the teens yesterday. Aaron Malachuk is doing a great job as your youth pastor. He's the only youth pastor that I know in ministry that's number one goal of youth ministry, besides giving the Bible, is to demoralize people in sports. I mean, that's what he does. He's like, all right, let's play this game, and this game is designed for me to crush you all. All right, the next game. This game is designed for me to hit the game winning. That's what Aaron does. And so it was a great time, though, of fellowship out and about, laughing, and I'm giving a hard time. Pastor, I don't know how you produced it, but everybody jokes about the Malachuk competitiveness. I don't know what that is, except I've experienced for the last 9 years of my life. But they had a great time, I believe, and had a devotional there, and we enjoyed that. And there was a couple lost kids there that raised their hand that said that they don't know where they're going. I didn't get a chance to talk to them personally. One of them was brand new, kind of raised her hand and then kind of put it down and kind of embarrassed. And another one was from up there in Bennington. And so pray for that if you would. But I do appreciate the opportunity to be here part of the church services. Pray for us. We will be heading to Indiana today, and we've got to get to a home study by 1 o'clock tomorrow is when the home study is at our house. So my wife is saying, we got to get there. We got to clean the house. And not that it's filthy, but just, the last minute wifey wipe downs and get that all done. And so from here to Indiana by car nonstop is about 12 hours and 40 minutes. By truck and trailer with stopping, we probably should have left on Friday. And so we have a one-year-old too with us, so pray for that trip. And we enjoyed getting the chance to be with you all. But I was talking with the pastor that probably as soon as service is over this afternoon, Sunday morning service, we will pack up pretty quickly and try to get a jump on the road. But we love getting to be with you and hope that the Lord continues to allow our paths to cross. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 2, is where we're going to be tonight, this morning rather. I want to preach a message from a man who can be a controversial man. Unfortunately, we use this man as many times an excuse for a person's life and say, well, they made a profession years ago, but you look at this man, and this guy is probably still saved. I mean, look at the way this man lived. Lot was not meant to be an example for the pattern of life. Lot was supposed to be a man who was a grievance to us. He was a man who was supposed to bring sorrow to our life and say, that is just not supposed to happen. That is not the way things are supposed to be. I want to take read a verse here in 2 Peter chapter 2, and then we'll flip over to Genesis chapter number 12, and we'll look at some interesting verses. The Bible says, in verse number 6 of 2 Peter chapter 2, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. His concern here is to talk about the judgment of God. There's no two ways about it. God is dealing with he is the judge, and he does judge this world. Now watch what the Bible says in verse number 7. And delivered just Lot. When it says just Lot, he's not saying only Lot. The only person that he delivered was this guy named Lot. When he's speaking of just, he's speaking of a righteousness. He's speaking of he was justified in God's sight. We would call it today, he was saved. He was born again. He was redeemed. And here's what he says. He delivers this righteous man Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. People have often said the most miserable person in the world is an unsaved person. I don't think so. The most miserable person in the world is a man who is saved, who is involved in wickedness time and time again. So we see here from this verse that there's a guy named Lot who, can we say it like this? He started off life right. He was saved. Now watch what happens in Genesis chapter 12, and we'll pray and we'll get started. Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says in verse number 1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from the father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You know the next few verses? God promises that he's going to bless Abraham. The Messiah is going to come through him. The whole world will be blessed through Abraham's obedience to God. And the Bible says in verse number 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Let me preach this message to you this morning. Lot's lot in life. Let's ask the Lord for his help one more time. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for just being merciful and long-suffering. Lord, I think of this man Lot and how good you were. How good you tried to be to him, God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in the choices we make, the decisions we make. I pray you'd help us to consider our paths, I pray. Thank you for this man named Lot, that he's in heaven right now. Thank you for that, God. And Lord, help us to learn from a disaster of a life. We love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning a message I've entitled, Lot's Lot in Life. Oftentimes you've heard the expression, well, that was just their lot in life. Or might be talking about a day that happens, you know, what happened to me, you know what my lot in life was. And what they're referring to is basically that's just the way that life kind of turns out. We might say, you know, I got a flat tire and that's the fourth one this year. That's just my lot in life. I'll never forget growing up, there was a guy next door to me named Ryan, my closest friend up until about 13 years old or so, and we kind of went to different schools. But it seemed like that every time he rode in the car with us, some disaster would happen with our car. It would overheat. We'd get a flat tire. The transmission would start slipping. We'd get hit by a car or something like that. I mean, it was like 5 or 6 times in a year's space that we would have something happen to that car. And here's what I'm trying to say. But oftentimes that's what we think of a lot. Well, that's just our lot in life. That whenever he gets in here, that just happens. You know, my lot in life was that, you know, I just can't hold a job. That was just my lot in life. You know, my lot in life was just that, you know, I got diagnosed with this, and that's just the way life is. Can I help you with something? There are many things in life that's just the way life is. There are many things. There are many things in life that we look to our sovereign God, we look to the God of heaven who knows all and is guiding all things, and we say, God, you have a plan. I had nothing to do with this. It was not on my hands. It was not from some decision or choice that I made. It was just my lot in life. There are a lot of things that are just like that. But can I help you something? Not all of life and not most of life is just the way life happens. Life, the Bible says, is choices and series of decisions that you and I make that arrive to the places that we are. In other words, we often think, well, I just happened to land here. No. We can take this man named Lot, and I want to show it to you this morning, and use his life as an example that the choices that we make always end up somewhere. I love the passage that tells us that the Old Testament was written for our ensample. It was meant for us to look at their lives, watch how God dealt with them, and take from them and learn and not repeat the same things that they do that ended up wrong, or to repeat the same things that were right. And you see a man in contrast, Abram and Lot, they went totally different directions, and it wasn't just their lot in life. It was decisions they made. Let me give you several things from this idea of Lot's life. First of all, this. First of all, life is made of decisions. Decisions. Those are what the Bible says in verse number 12. Verse number 1 of Genesis. We won't go back to 2 Peter. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto land that I will show thee." Now, let me say this very quickly. There's a lot of people that think Abram did wrong in letting Lot come with him because of the phrase, "get thee from thy kindred." Can I say something? God was not necessarily aimed at abandoning his family. God was aimed at leaving off. The idea of separation is not only leaving away from something, but leaving to something. And all God was saying is, get away from the things that you know. Get away from the way you grew up. Get away from all these things, and I want you to go somewhere different. It wasn't so much, you know what, I want you to leave all these things. The more important thing is I want you to go here. But the process is to put some separation between the two. So whether or not you believe it was okay for Abram to take Lot, the point is, right here, Lot made a great decision. What do you mean? There's Uncle Abraham. He's his uncle, several years older than him. And Uncle Abraham, well, that was a squeak. And Uncle Abram hears from God. Can I help you with this? No one was hearing from God right now. Nobody was having God appear to him right in the middle of nowhere and saying, here's my plan for your life. So evidently, Uncle Abraham had the blessing of the Lord upon him. And Lot saw this. Other family members saw this, but I believe Lot was a saved man, we know that. And I believe Lot was making a great choice when he said this. Abraham comes to his family, I imagine, and said, Abram, I'm going to call Abraham because you know his name was changed. But Abraham comes to his family and says, God has spoken to me. Who spoke to you? God, the God who created this world. He spoke to me. What'd he tell you? He said, go to a land. He'll show me where the land is. Well, where's the land? I don't know. I'm just supposed to go. And I think the rest of the family thought, you're nuts. I ain't going with you. What do you mean you don't even know where you're going? And Abram followed the Lord. But there was Lot and his wife and perhaps his kids at this time. We don't know. Looks and says, wait a second. This man's following God. Lot believed in God. Lot believed in the Messiah to come one day. Lot, what we call a Christian, if we were speaking in New Testament terms. Lot was a born-again child of God. And watch this. Lot made good decisions. You know, there are good decisions. Here's the best decision of life was the choice to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've told this people 1,000 times. My favorite, the best decision I ever made was to get saved. The next best decision was to marry that girl right there because both of them is just changed my life. But obviously, getting saved, here's a great decision. But watch this. Lot, though he started off with a great decision, one decision doesn't guarantee this life. One decision like that would guarantee a place called heaven, but one decision did not guarantee his life. Here's what happens. The Bible says he goes with Lot. And things are going great. The Bible says in verse number 8, he removed from thence to a mountain place. Verse number 9, and Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. The south is speaking about the promised land to come, and there's blessings that are happening. The Bible says they go down to Egypt, and Abraham made some wrong choices there, but God was gracious and merciful. And over time, before you know it, when you get to chapter number 13, the Bible says in verse number 2, and Abraham was rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And the Bible seems to indicate in verse number 5, and Lot also with all these things. Now, physical blessing is not a sign of God's necessarily. Profit is not a sign of God's blessing necessarily. But in this case, it was. They went out in the middle of nowhere. And God was increasing. The cattle were giving birth. And the chickens were laying more eggs. And they couldn't eat pig. Praise the Lord for the New Testament. But either way, there was great big blessings going on, and Lot was experiencing the blessings of God. He was seeing God's protection. He was seeing the land fertile. He was seeing the crops grow. He was seeing the sheep increase so much. So the Bible says they were very, very rich as a result of God's blessing in their life. Guess what's happening? Lot made some great decisions, some great choices. And you can't help but recognize that when we follow God and make right decisions and right choices and biblically based in the counsel of God and the wisdom of God, that God is going to bless and God is going to add and God is going to be good. God is good no matter what, you know that. But there just seems to be that extra bit of God just working in our life when we make right decisions. But remember, again, one good decision doesn't guarantee even all our good decisions. The Bible says this in verse number 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. I will take the left hand. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left. So here's what happens. The herdsmen have a fight. Fights happen. This is part of life, unfortunately. Fights happen. They said, your sheep are eating my sheep's food, and your sheep are getting too fluffy, and there's not enough room for us all, or whatever it was. And they were arguing over this, and Abraham recognizes, you know what, we're not going to be able to make it with us fighting like this. So Abraham comes to his nephew and says, nephew, hey, here's the case. I don't want things to be between us. That was a great leadership. I don't want there to be aught and fighting between us. Why don't you depart? Hey, the whole land is before you. If you go to the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. Let's depart. Seems like just a simple decision for Lot to make. But all decisions affect a lot. The Bible says that when he's told this in verse number 10, I want you to see what the Bible draws our attention to. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered there, well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like in the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Here Lot makes a simple decision. All right, Lot, where do you want to go? Left or right, make your decision, I'll go the other way. And Lot makes a choice. And Lot looks and says, well, it's well watered there. I mean, I'll never have need again. And I believe with all of my heart that Lot made ungodly decision here. Well, it seems so subtle, Chris. It did. So, I mean, his only motivation wasn't it just to separate. His only motivation was just to be able to, you know, take care of the cattle, take care of the sheep. Wasn't that all that's there? No. Remember what has just happened in Lot's life. Lot just experienced famines before this. There was famines and different difficulties that were going on. And the Bible says down when they were in Egypt, there was a famine in the land. That's why they went down to Egypt. And there was Uncle Abraham leaving the desert. He left the desert where there was nothingness, and there was a famine in the land, and he ran down to Egypt. Why? Because there's safety there. Because it's well watered there. It had nothing to do with the will of God. It had to do with human reasoning. That, well, it just makes sense for us to provide here. When God had last told him, stay up there in the desert of Canaan in that area. And what happened to Abraham? Disaster. Almost lost his wife. You can read this in the previous chapter. Almost lost his wife to some king snatching her up. And all these terrible things happened. Lot, didn't you see what happened? Well, Lot knew what happened. But Lot was going to make his decision. Lot made a decision based upon what was simply best for me. Lot should have also deferred to Uncle Abraham. Why? Uncle Abraham is the guy that's walking with God. Uncle Abraham is the man that's experiencing the blessings and the appearance and the signs of God stepping into his life. All this is happening in his life because of Uncle Abraham. There's another reason. Here's another reason why Lot shouldn't have chose these things. He should have said, no, this isn't my choice, Abraham. This is your choice. You're the elder. You're the one walking with God. Don't put this responsibility on me. Listen, ever since I've been with you, I've had nothing but the blessings of the Lord. I'll get rid of some sheep. I'll get rid of some cattle. I'll figure out a way. I'll just hang out with you and eat Doritos. I am not leaving you. You are the blessing of God. But Lot made a selfish decision. Can I help you something? Life is built upon the choices that we make. We make them all the time. We make decisions. We make decisions to go to church or not to go to church. We make choices on what to wear, what not to wear. We make decisions on what to eat and what not to eat. We make decisions on what to say to our kids when they react and they act that way, or what not to say, whether to correct, whether not to correct, whether to get onto them or not to get on. We can make decisions to go to fun parks. We make decisions to go hunting or fishing. We make decisions to open up our Bible. We make decisions to pray. We make decisions to blurt out those words to those people. Life is filled with thousands and thousands of decisions. In fact, millions. In fact, you have made already this morning choice after choice after choice, some very conscious and very deliberate. When you woke up this morning, you said, oh, I'm not ready to get up, and you deliberately, maybe you weren't even paid to, you slapped that alarm clock or whatever. You made decisions after decisions this week. We have filled ourselves with decisions. Can I help you something? We often think that decisions are an island unto themselves. We often think that the choices I make are just simply, I just simply made that choice. But here's what we got to learn from the life of Lot. Every decision, every single decision that you and I make has a result in some capacity. You know this. There are certain decisions that have great big capacities that are much larger than other decisions. For example, if who you marry is an absolutely enormous, enormous, enormous decision with lifelong consequences, I understand who you marry is a bigger decision of whether you wear jeans or a t-shirt or a collar shirt. I understand. But they're both decisions that have consequences. You see, Lot here simply says, okay. And he looks and says, well, that'll be best for me. I mean, it's well watered there. And his eyes wasn't on some heinous sin here. Oh yeah, there's women over there. And oh yeah, I can get smashed over there. No. His decision, according to the Bible, was built on, it's lush. There's lots of grass. There's plenty of space for my sheep and for my cattle and all these things. It's just simply a decision. No, I want to help you with something. Every decision we make, every choice we make, has consequences. Can I help you something? This life is not just a lot. Boom, the dice fell, and that's where I just ended up. No, life is built on decisions. So here's a very simple question for you, very simple. What decisions have you been making? The decisions you made and have been making will end up somewhere. What decisions have you made? You've been consulting God on the most basic decisions? Or have you been just simply saying, well, that just makes sense. Well, that's just reasonable. That just, I mean, that everybody would. I love it when David came back from Ziklag, I believe it was, or to Ziklag, and he found out that his wife and his children were gone. The Bible says they were in disarray. The Bible says that they wanted to stone him for these things. And I love it that David said, Lord, shall I pursue? I love that. You know why? Because you and I would think, well, of course you pursue, you idiot. Your wife and your children were just snatched. Your wife and your children were just captured. There it is. I almost said captivated. They were captured, and they were taken off, and these people are going to stone you. I mean, what ding-dong thinks, well, you know, I wonder if we should go chasing after my... Maybe he didn't like his wife or something. No, but the idea is, obviously, you would go, wouldn't you? Obviously, if you came home to your house and you found a ransom note because someone had stolen your wife, you would do whatever you could, wouldn't you? But David said, no, I don't build life. I don't make my decisions on what makes sense. I have learned I make my decisions on consulting the Lord, because every decision has a consequence. So let me ask you a simple question. How's your decisions been made? What's your choices been? Man, we could give a lot of choices, couldn't we? choices in church and out of church and in the Bible and out of the Bible, and choices in marriage and choices in kids and choices in jobs and choices in doctors and choices. There are thousands of choices. Can I help you something? Be guided by God in your decisions. The problem with Lot is there was no guidance here. He just chose. But number one, life is decisions. Number two, decisions bring direction. Decisions bring direction. Watch what he says here in verse number 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. When Abraham dwells in the area of Canaan, guess what? That's exactly where God wanted him. Did Abraham mess up? Yes, he sure did when he went down to Egypt. But did Abraham make another decision and repent of that? Said, God, I'm sorry. Please be merciful to me. He did. And there he is. Boom. Back on track. I'm thankful that when I'm walking, if I'm supposed to walk to this organ right here, I'm thankful that if I sometimes make a step away, that I very quickly, by the grace of God, can make a step back towards, say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for that. And make a step in continuation. It doesn't in the long run affect my direction. But watch this. Abraham, though he messed up, Lot made a decision, and a decision began to form a direction in life. The Bible says this in verse number 12. The Bible says Abraham dwelt in the tents, in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Do you see a direction here? The Bible says he dwells in the cities of the plain. So in other words, the idea when it says cities is the idea of movement. There wasn't like thousands of cities all nestled up in one metropolis out in the middle of the desert. No. There's a little city here. There's a little village here. There's a little dwelling here. And what it's indicating is that Lot, he sees something favorable. He sees something wonderful in this land. But as he gets closer, all of a sudden, he can see, can I say it like this, the city lights of Gomorrah. He can see the city lights of Sodom. And the Bible says he intentionally takes his tent and he sets it up, he sinks it down, and he erects it so that when the doors open, there he is, face toward Sodom. When he gets up in the morning, there it is. Can I help you with something with Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah was what we would refer to today like a Las Vegas type thing. What I mean by that is like Las Vegas is known for Sin City. The phrase is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Go there and do the sins. Go there and get involved in wickedness. We won't tell anybody. Nobody will know. Now, just understand, there are good things that are happening in Las Vegas. Good things for the Lord. There's friends of mine that are pastoring and reaching people for Jesus Christ. So I'm not throwing all of Las Vegas under the bus. But I am saying this, that Las Vegas and how it's known would be a sin city. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. The men of this place, the Bible says, are exceedingly, exceedingly wicked. The idea is it goes beyond normalcy in wickedness, as if there's such a thing. The idea is it goes way beyond comprehension in the amount of immorality, the amount of disgusting sin that they are openly and unashamedly involved in. And what does he do? He sets his tent down. And his tent is Ain. And then a few months later, or whatever it may be, he moves to another city that's a little bit closer, and he makes the decision to put his tent down. And then another few months, he goes to another city, and he puts his tent down. What's happening? Watch this. No decision makes a direction, but decisions, plural, do. Decisions make a direction in life. In other words, it's very easy to see where you're going in your marriage. What? It's very easy to see where you're going in a Christian life. Chris, we can't know the future. Oh, you may not know, guarantee it, but you can predict it pretty good. Why? When you look at the decisions that are being made, because decisions set up a direction. I remember back in high school, I was somewhat of a nerd. I still am somewhat of a nerd. I dropped a wiffle ball last night, and that was terrible, but I could probably checkmate Aaron any day in the game of chess. But anyways, I am somewhat of a nerd. And I hate to say this, I heard a teenager last night say they didn't like it. I loved geometry and trigonometry and pre-calculus and Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. I absolutely loved the stuff, so much so that in my little small Christian school, there was no one to teach us pre-calculus and trigonometry. So I asked the teacher my senior year, can I teach it to myself? Can I have the math book and just read the lessons and do it all? Happen to get good grades when you're the teacher too. Okay, so anyways, I like geometry. And there's something pretty simple about in geometry. There's things called lines and rays and things like that. And there's all these things. In other words, a line, just so you know, is two segments that stops by a dot. A ray is set up and it continues one dot, two dot. You start a starting point and you take the second starting point and the second point and you connect the two. And a ray is an arrow, an indefinite line. It doesn't end. It has a starting point but no beginning. Excuse me, that was backwards. That was terrible. A starting point but no end. That's a ray. A ray is saying that you take one dot, doesn't make a direction, but if you have two dots, you automatically have a direction. You take one, you put the line through that, the ray through that, and it continues on that you can predict every other point based upon those two. And here's what God is saying. God is saying that your life becomes very, very predictable based on the decisions that you're making. What do you mean? If this week you made no decision on Monday, and no decision on Tuesday to be in the Word of God, you have set up direction in your life. That we could probably predict that on Wednesday you didn't read God's Word either, and on Thursday you probably did. Now you might have changed some things, and we're thankful for the grace of God that things move and we can change. But what I'm trying to say is a normal rule, the decisions that you and I make set up directions in life. You make your decisions based upon finances multiple times, and all of a sudden, guess what? You don't consult God. You say, well, what's best for my life financially? You make decisions based upon convenience. Well, this is just going to be the easiest on us, rather than seeking God. And what happens? You're setting up a precedent of convenience, and you can see, I made the decisions there, I made decisions here. I think I know what's going to happen next in that person's life. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Nobody's going to be shocked in a few minutes when I tell you that Lot ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah. No one's going to be like, where did that come from? I mean, that came out of left field. I mean, no one could have predicted that. Obviously not. Well, how did he end up there? He ended up there because he made a decision. He made another decision. He made another decision. Another decision. Can I help you something? No one just falls out of church. You know people here that years ago used to come and then one day, what do you mean you're not coming back? Yep, it was just one decision they made. That's crazy. You know that direction of one day ending up falling out of church came because of decisions that are made. And sometimes we're discontent with our Christian life and we wonder, why? Well, you look back at the decisions, you've set up a direction of a miserable Christian life. You've set up a direction of a horrible life. Why? Because of decisions that we make. So watch this. The life that we live is made up of decisions, and decisions form a direction. Can I ask you a simple question, teenagers? What direction are you heading? Mom, what direction are you heading with those kids? Dad, what direction are you heading with that family? What direction are you going? Well, I mean, who could tell? Oh, no, you're treating as if life is just, it's a lot. It just happens in the end. No. Life comes from decisions that we make one by one. And in the decisions we make, we can get a general idea of a direction of life. I make a step like this, I make a step like this, I make a step like this, I make one step like this, I make a step like this, I make a step like this. Enough decisions say, that's where you're going. Number one, decisions. Number two, directions. And number three, destinations. I want you to turn forward in your Bible to Genesis in chapter number 18, I believe it is. 19, excuse me. Genesis chapter number 19, and I'm very close to being done here. I just want to share this last point. Decisions form a direction. Direction determines a destination. And the last idea of this whole message, though it's not like a distinct point, is this: destinations make a difference. I want you to see what happens here in chapter 19 and verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. As I mentioned already, no one here is thinking, oh, where did that come? That is just the most shocking thing in the world. No, you could see it coming for a while. But here's what happens. It's very easy for you and I to see the direction of someone else's life. Really easy. It's really easy to say, that guy has missed church every single Wednesday this month. I'm kind of nervous about that. Man, I really need to help him, encourage him to come. Oh, man, I noticed that my kids, man, I noticed they've been kind of giving me that rolling of their eyes. I can see that. I noticed that there's probably some things that are trending here that I need to pay attention to. It's really easy to see someone else's life. It takes the wisdom of the Lord to search out our own lives and say, God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. See if there be any direction in me that is wrong, any way in which I am displeasing you. And here's Lot's problem. Lot's problem, not never recognized the decisions that I would make would end up in this place called Sodom. Do you really think that Lot, way back sitting with Abraham, thought to himself, you know what? One day, I would like to be sitting at the gate at Sodom. What do you mean sitting at the gate? This was a leader in the town. This was a leader in the community. This was someone that would be one of the people that judged the city, as it were. In other words, he wasn't just kind of visiting. He was fully embracing and part of everything that was going on at Sodom. Do you think that Lot thought he was going to be there? Do you think that Lot, when he's sitting there with the sheep, that one day there's a fight, and Uncle Abraham says, Lot, you need to leave. You need to go this way, and I'm going to go that way. You make your choice. And Lot thought, now's my chance. If I can break off from this guy, I could go be a leader in a homosexually charged and lustful and fornicating city. I can go be a leader there. No. No. The problem with Lot was he only viewed things in the right now rather than saying, wait a second, the decision that I make right now is going to determine a direction, and the direction that I set will end up somewhere someday. Lot just thought, it's just a decision. Well, it's just a decision. Well, it's just one choice. Well, it just happened once. Well, it just happened a couple times. It's not going to affect my life. Lot viewed decisions as isolated islands rather than decisions and what they are. They're a progress towards somewhere. And Lot ends up at his destination. So here's the key to the Christian life, or one of the keys. We have to say, God, what do you want for me? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? And based upon what the Bible tells us we are to be, we are to pattern our steps, pattern our choices to reach that destination. So in other words, if you say, my desire in life is to be a person that gets a hold of God in prayer, that is not one day you're going to be, boom, wow. I really know how to get a hold of God in prayer. It's not going to happen. The way it will happen is that you start off somewhere and you say, I'm going to pray 5 minutes today, and I'll pray 5 minutes tomorrow. I'm going to pray 5 minutes the next day. And then a little bit later, I'm going to pray a little bit more. I'm going to pray a little bit more. And I start on a path that leads that, listen, I get my prayer requests answered. Man, I would love to know things about the Bible. I would love to be able to win people to Christ. I would love to be able to talk with someone that doesn't know Jesus and to really dive into the Word of God and share. Well, that's not just going to happen. It comes from decisions that we make. Man, I would love to have a godly family. Man, I'd love to have a marriage that we don't fight and squabble. How is that going to happen? The choices that we make will arrive somewhere. Somewhere. Now watch what happens. The Bible says, and let me hasten through this story. I'm done. I want to give you the difference. The Bible says that Lot sat in the gate at Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Here's what happens. Two angels that look like men, but Lot recognizes that they are angels, come to visit Sodom. God is going to destroy Sodom. And the angels have come to pull out Lot and his family. You know what's interesting? This is so interesting to me. Abraham said, God, and the numbers are wrong here, would you spare him for 100? Would you spare him for 50? Would you spare him for 40? And finally, Abraham said, would you spare him for 10? You know what? All of my heart, I believe that he was thinking, my nephew surely won his family, because there was 10 of them. God, surely my nephew in that wicked city at least won his wife, at least raised his kids. They at least know, surely, God, there was 10 of them. If you count them up, brothers and sisters, kids and their husbands and wives and all that, you put it all together, there was, I think that he was saying, God, surely Lot did. Oh, but listen, maybe Abraham didn't even realize the power of the decisions that we make. The Bible says these two angels come. And these two angels says, hey, we need to get you out of here. And Lot says, no. Let me have you come in tonight. The angels are going to stay outside. Lot says, no, you want to come inside. You need to get inside. The reason why is because two new guys in the town, this is one of the most horrible stories there is, all the men in the city think, hey, there's new guys here. Hey, we can be involved with them morally. Hey, let's have them. Before you know it, the two angels go inside the house, and the Bible says they begin to beat the door down, saying, let those two guys come out. It's new guys out here. We want to experience them. We want to be involved in them. That's where Lot lives. Lot is so twisted that Lot says, No. Don't do anything. Don't do this, guys. Why would you do this? And he opens the door and says, I'll let you have my two virgin daughters. Don't do this wickedness to these two angels. What? I would let you have my two virgin daughters? The angels had to come out and blind the guys to get them to go away from the house. Then Lot begins to say, hey, God's going to judge the city. Hey, honey, God's going to judge the city. Hey, kids, God's going to judge the city. We got to get out of here. And all of them are thinking, Lot, you're nuts. God's not going to do anything. The wife doesn't believe him. The kids don't believe him. He's saying, you've got to get out of here now. Finally, he yanks his wife and says, you're going with me. But God says, don't even look back at the city. But as Lot's leaving, Lot's wife looks back at the city, and the Bible says she was immediately turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because though her body was leaving, her heart was not leaving that city. The kids didn't leave the city. The kids that were married. Lot goes off with those two daughters. They go up in the wilderness and they're sitting up there. The whole city, the Bible says, goes up in fire and brimstone. God destroys that city for the wickedness they were committing. And the Bible says they were up in that the little cave or whatever. And there's in the middle of nowhere. It's just these two daughters and there's Lot. The city's up. It's done and over with. So that night, the girls get dad drunk and the girls sleep with dad to try to produce some kids so they can continue on in life. Talk about disaster. There's no way to put into words the disaster that happens. You know why? Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. Destinations always make a difference. They always make a difference. So here's the point of the message this morning. What decisions are you making? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. A prudent man recognizes, I can see down the road danger and it's coming my way, so I'm going to make a choice right now to hide myself to be protected from that danger would pass. A prudent man, a man that has prudence for God, and a husband that says, God, give me prudence. A wife that says, give me prudence. A teenager says, God, give me prudence. Prudence is the ability to look way down the road and say, what is going to happen if I choose this college? What is going to happen if I don't read my Bible? What is going to happen if I don't go to church? What is going to happen if I don't take this opportunity to tell them about Christ? What is going to happen if I get in these arguments with my wife incessantly? What is going to happen? Looking way down. No, people just have an affair out of nowhere. You know what happens? It's decisions, 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 and an affair happens. You understand that. As I mentioned before, no one just drops out of church. There's decisions after decisions that have been made to bring us to that point. So here's what I want to give you this morning. It's a very simple truth, and that is this. Your decisions are important. And every decision that we make has to be a David-like decision. We say, God, shall I pursue? Shall I pursue? This morning I was talking with my wife about our trip leaving. It's 12 and a half, 13 hours. Do we get in at 2 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning rather? Do we stop and get in at 11 o'clock the next day or whatever it may be? What do we do? And as I'm speaking this message, the Holy Spirit is immediately convicting me, saying, Chris, you consult with your wife. Have you never asked me? Yeah. You see, our decisions have to be, God, what do you want? Because every decision leads to a direction. What leads to a destination. Destinations always make a difference. Our Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for your grace and mercy. Help us with the decisions that we make. May they be spirit-filled. May they not be self-motivated. May they not be built upon reason or that just makes sense or common sense. May our choices be built upon the guidance of the Lord. In contrast, I think of this man Abraham, who outside of a couple decisions, by and large, sought you, and wow, what a difference between him and Lot. Help each one of my friends here to make right decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.